Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. Today we're pleased to have back Laura Alden-Kalm with her book Intuitive Wellness. We had talked with Laura before about her great CD product, Unlocking Your Intuitive Power. That's one that you can listen to in your car, which is my favorite place to listen to CDs. And this book, Intuitive Wellness, is a great guide to developing and appreciating your own intuitive wisdom. In fact, I was so impressed with it that I gave it as a birthday present to one of my good friends who is in the process of developing her intuition. Welcome, Laura. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me back, Susan. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Good. I just so appreciate coming back and sharing with you and your audience and just enjoy the way you understand intuition and use it in your world as a physician, and it's just great to be back.
Well, I think the answer to our extremely high cost of healthcare would be to incorporate intuitive, especially diagnostics, and then my concept is you use the medical intuitives to kind of screen the energy field, and then you can use your diagnostic tests like MRIs and lab tests and everything to confirm the diagnosis, and then that would prevent what I see so often in my practice. These patients come in with these diseases like chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, you know, these less well-known diseases with about $10,000 of negative testing, which has to be impacting our the economy of the cost of healthcare.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. In fact, I just got off the phone with a physician who I had been working with for several weeks now. He had called me actually on the way to get an MRI, mm-hmm. and he's a friend, so I was able to do an on-the-fly session with him. Well, his wife was driving him, and we had been working on a lot of different issues with his back. He'd been calling a lot of different healers and such, but he called me, you know, right at the 11th hour and assessed what was going on, and it, as a result, it was the same as what the MRI said. And I just this minute got off the phone with him because he's had surgery now, and now he's has a potential blood clot, which I was able to help him assess, and so he, as a physician, knows what to do to get help here. But to your point about pre-diagnosing, you know, or pre-assessing to save money, it's absolutely necessary. I agree with you, and so in the beginning of next year, I'm going to start once again my medical intuitive training, so I can mm-hmm. help both lay people and healthcare professionals do that. And right now I'm working with the integrative medicine team at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital in their post-op heart transplant and cardiac unit. And so we're working on the back end of a surgery, obviously, but to help expedite healing and health and to preclude any potential issues that these practitioners will be able to detect or see or assess before they happen, thus saving time, hopefully lives, and money.
Well, it's actually very intelligent. As a surgeon, I can tell you that, you know, once we do surgery, that's a fairly large disruption to the energy system in general.
And, it is.
So, you know, think about it. You do surgery, you do a major operation, you have the metabolic aspects, all the electrolytes, especially with heart surgery. You have things that are starting to go awry but really haven't caused symptoms yet. The patient's usually either in an altered state of consciousness or can't communicate because of sedation and all of these things. So you can't always depend on the patient to give you, you know, gee, I don't feel like I think I should, you know, that kind of thing, that kind of feedback.
Yeah.
So, and then you have the surgical site with all, and the catheter sites and the IV sites with the heart surgery. You have lines that are still, like, often near the heart because, you know, the subclavian lines are often right near the heart. You have all of these lines that can get infected. You know, you have your lungs, which are a critical issue. You know, just, that's often a source of problems. The urinary tract. All of these things, if a medical intuitive just scan that every couple of days, probably every, I mean, even every 24 hours, to see what was going awry, it's so much easier to treat it when it's a mild problem than when it actually starts to show up as a spiking fever or a, you know, you get labs and your potassium is 2.5 and you know, what do you do with that? That becomes an emergency.
Yeah.
So I really think post-op, that would be a great way to study medical intuition and show that it was, you know, statistically cost-effective. Because the cost of these complications can be outrageous. You know, what's one day in the ICU cost, you know?
Oh, tens of thousands of dollars.
It really does. And
yes,
then the cost of human life, you know, if you don't get it in time. And blood clots. Good Lord. Every day scan the patient for blood clots.
Yeah.
I'm sure that a blood clot is or the conditions that might lead to a blood clot are able to be viewed, you know, the viscosity stuff. I mean, the viscosity of the blood, you can probably, you know, intuit that in some form. And then if it's abnormal, there is a blood test for viscosity. You know, you can do that. Mm-hmm. And then if the blood's too viscous, you can go ahead and do something to make it less sticky, less viscous.
Yes. No, I agree. And that's exactly what I was doing with my friend, just, you know, 5-10 minutes ago,
right.
Looking at directional flow, whether
right.
it was arterial or vascular, you know, how's the circulation in his foot, which thank goodness it was all right. It was, the directional movement was going up, in the body. So,
right.
You know, he has a whole different, set of perspectives now that he can, as a physician, monitor, get the right test if he wants and do what he knows how to prevent this from going south on him. And actually, one of the things about the clot that I was just looking at, because directional movement is very important when you're looking whether in an energy field or in a structure in the body, is to determine which way is it going. And, you know, our language pales a little bit, but I always mean my adjectives. And in this case, it was the directional movement was slightly growing. So, you know, this is why it was, you know, very important for him to get on some path of corrective measure here, whatever
right.
he chooses. The surgical site, on the other hand, in his lower back was healing. The directional movement of that was, you know, everything was dissipating. Things were coming
right.
back to a point of homeostasis and normalcy. So absolutely to have a medical intuitive pre and post op is, I think, essential for limiting health care and crisis. It really is very supportive of Western medicine, which is great for crisis medicine.
Yeah, I had a patient in the hospital after a reduction, and I just knew she was throwing pulmonary emboli. The pulmonologist came in, and he couldn't find anything, and every test in the book was run, and they couldn't find anything. I just kept sending her back with more specific instructions. Finally, a radiologist called me and said, Dr. Kolb, you saved this patient's life. There was a clot exactly where you told us there would be.
Wow, that's fabulous.
And by then, the pulmonologist had signed off. You know, he said, no, she doesn't have a blood clot, but she did. And she was throwing it. You know, she was throwing it every day a little bit more. And as you know, that can be deadly. And
yes.
So I just kept at it until they finally diagnosed it. And then he got called back in to treat it. I mean, well, we had her on some, you know, on some treatment, but then he got called back in to do the full blown treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, after surgery, it's really dangerous just to put somebody on heparin and Coumadin because then you could bleed. You really
yes.
do need a diagnosis. And, you just, I mean, the intuitive part is quite important. And
well,
she probably would have died, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what, and
yeah.
I wouldn't release her from the hospital because I knew she was throwing a blood clot.
Well, see, and this, that little narrow statement right there is so key. You trust
yeah.
yourself enough that you would not let go of that, and you
yeah.
would hammer on a nail on that, and that's brilliant.
Six
that's
times
brilliant.
She got sent back to radiology.
Whoa, that's
it. Yeah.
Whoa.
But you know, I mean, I couldn't ethically send her home when I knew
right.
she was in danger.
Well, that's the other piece here
yeah.
because you trust it so much, you know there's something wrong and you can't go back on that
mm-hmm.
truth, which means, you know, when you're awake and your intuition is up and running like this, you can't go asleep again for any moment in time, for any situation. You can't go back to sleep and say, you know, I'm just going to pass that on. So you did probably save her life. No question.
Probably did. Well, she said I did, you know, in the end. She said,
yeah.
Thank God you didn't send me home.
No kidding.
But,
no
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah. But she did fine. And, you know, I think, but that is touch and go. Pulmonary embolus is definitely touch and go. I've been very, very lucky not to have any deaths from it. Other than, this is interesting, when I was a resident, an intern, I did a 45-minute local on a 75-year-old male under local anesthesia with sedation at the, I was in the Air Force Hospital. And he ended up dying of a pulmonary embolus, but it was like kind of like 3 weeks after surgery. But that's still that's still considered an operative mortality within 30 days.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's not too much, and that was back in the early, well, that was actually back in the late 70s. It was in 79. Since then, a lot of things have changed, but we did do it under local sedation. It was a 45-minute case, which is a short case. And people do have to understand that people do die of pulmonary embolus without surgery.
Yes,
and a lot
yes,
of people who die of pulmonary embolus after surgery actually had the clots before surgery. You know, it's like the clots were there, but then the stasis and all the changes that occur during surgery were then additive, and then that clot started going in the wrong direction, like you said. So
yeah.
Pre-screening of certain patients before surgery to see if they had blood clots, that would be something that would be very important.
Yes, I totally agree with you, and hopefully we can, through shows like yourself and your work and, you know, events like you've just spoken of with this woman, we'll start to turn the medical model a little bit. I've had clients that are heading into heart surgeries, and they want to scan before, and so we do that. And then they're aware of the problems that they're going to have and also potential problems. And then when the surgeon comes up and says, you know, the blood pressure is too low, I don't know if I can operate, but then with the consultation, they – I don't ever tell a surgeon what to do. That's not my area. But but the family can relay suggestions and ideas, and that's what happened here. And the surgeon felt it was sound advice. So she recovered from something that would didn't have a good prognosis.
Right.
And the doctor's still scratching his head. But she also used healing modalities like Reiki and meditation and visualizations, and I continued to scan her body for her, but it was the hands-on healing that really shifted gears and brought her back into balance more quickly post-op. So it's a whole amalgam of things that we can use, scanning intuitively and intuitive healing. It'll just change medicine, and I know it's the future. I know energy medicine and intuition is the future of Western medicine.
I had a patient recently in her late 80s who had some visual problems. She was seeing an ophthalmologist, and she asked me to do healing, you know, laying on her hands for her eyes. She had thought it was macular degeneration. Something didn't sit right with me, though, so I sent her to my friend, a neurologist, who did an MRI and found out that she actually had had a stroke in her occipital lobe. And so that's something that I wasn't real familiar with, but, you know, it didn't surprise me. But then he said to her, he said, I don't know what you've been doing, but this area is healing way faster than it should have healed. So that was interesting.
Interesting.
I actually called him up and told him I'd been doing healing, because he does healing, too. And we actually have doctors who do healing, which is interesting.
Yes.
And he said, well, that's good. Keep doing it.
Yes, that's right. That's right. More and more physicians are really speaking out and doing this.
Right.
And it just makes sense. I mean, the early years of Western medicine in the 1800s were so much more amenable and open to a wide variety of healing modalities, including nutrition. Hey, how about that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I know there's hope for us all, and I think this pot that is being stirred about healthcare is certainly raising the hair on a lot of people's necks right now. And I think it's a good thing. I don't know where it'll go, but I think just creating the chaos about it is good. It's not comfortable to disturb the hornet's nest, but, you know, it's time to move some other important components and fundamentals of health and wellness into place so we can minimize these costs and everybody can get the right level of care they need for the situation that they find themselves in. That's so important right there.
Well, and at the core of all of it lies the patient's own responsibility for their health. And your book really points this out. You know, I like the part about, you know, you actually can control what you put in your body and if you exercise and, you know, what you think about what you, you know, what you concentrate on. And your book does a great job of showing how disruptions in thought and emotion manifest into illness based on the various chakra systems, you know, where that energy actually flows or doesn't flow. And I wanted to remind our listeners that one of the great books that I read many years ago and have reread is Alice Bailey's Esoteric Healing book. And in it, the information that I think is so important is the line, disease is the result of inhibited soul life. And to me, what that means is the life force energy streaming interdimensionally down and animating our physical bodies is supposed to be full blast. Everything is supposed, all the chakras are supposed to be open. We're supposed to be getting unlimited energy that we need through each of the chakras. But when we have certain thought forms, certain belief systems, and certain physical habits, that energy is blocked.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, we are a soul first and foremost and a body secondarily. And I always consider life kind of a working vacation, you know, from the spiritual world that is really our home. And when I assess anybody's body, the first place I always go is the electromagnetic field. And that the various layers of that field tell me exactly what's going on in a body, what systems are out of balance to whatever degree they're out of balance, and then I just dive in and look at the structure of the biomechanics of the body based on the systems that are showing up in the field, and then always step back out and look at the thought forms, the levels of consciousness that are embedded in the chakra systems, the nadis. Even the chakras that are out in the field are fascinating because, you know, we have these ribbons of nadis, and even meridians from Chinese medicine are floating out into the field as receptor sites for incoming and outflowing energetic structures. So, you know, the pipelines have to be clear. They have to be clear. And our thoughts, well, what can I say? It's a mental world out there. It's a mental universe. And one thing that always shows that to people is when they have an experience, no matter what it is, if they can't find the language to articulate that which they experienced, the consciousness has not fully downloaded, so to speak, within their cognitive mind. They can't articulate language. It's like talking about the absolute, the presence of God, in a conventional way. People lose language that way. But over time, with the spiritual practice, with the awakening of intuition, you can articulate using simile, metaphor, or direct contact with any kind of thought or consciousness that shows up in the field. And every disease has an attitude, it has a certain structure to it, and over time, again, as your intuition develops, you can learn to correlate the structures of a condition or a thought in the energy field and correlate that back into a chakra or a meridian or an organ or a region of the body or even a cell or the interior structures of the cell. So macro view or a micro view, it doesn't matter. And I use all of it, scale, scope of any degree, to do the assessments that I do. And over time, again, start with meditation and simple practices like that are in the book, Intuitive Wellness. It's a very prescriptive book. It will guide people into awakening to their own energy first, because that's obviously essential. And then as you choose to, or are asked to, rather, then you read other people and help them. So it's all possible. This is who we are. This is what we're here to do. You have a very awake and intuitive skill, and, you know, fortunately I do too. And, gosh, everybody does. So just need to practice, need to play with it.
And I want to mention to our listeners that in the next few years, there's going to be a fabulous opportunity to shift your consciousness and to develop your intuition.
Yeah.
You know, the energies are actually shifting quite rapidly, and I'm seeing in many people neurological symptoms,
mm-hmm.
You know, symptoms of not frank disease sometimes, but definitely symptoms of the consciousness, you know, the energy that is trying to flow through the body being stuck somewhere and causing these symptoms. And instead of getting $10,000 worth of negative MRIs, CTs, and other, you know, other testing, we can help them very much just with the energetic healing techniques to remove those blockages, and then the energy flows quite nicely.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit outside of traditional medicine, but I see it again and again, and have even tried to talk to some of my colleagues about it. You know, just when you see this set of circumstances, think, you know, about other forms rather than, you know, a pill or surgery or something like that, because that's really not going to be effective.
No,
diagnosis is going to be very difficult.
It is, and not. I agree with you. I've had many clients that have been vibrating from the inside out, and
right.
Nothing that seems to be the primary symptom, and then others, digestive, hormonal thoughts, mental anxiety, things of that nature, peel off from that. And I did a lecture a few years ago, and just happened to ask that question. How many of you have been vibrating? There are probably 500 or so in the audience, and half of the audience raised their hand. So this has been going on for quite a while, and I've certainly had my rounds of it in interesting ways.
It really is. When I've had vibrations in various parts of the chakra system, as have many people, and I remember when I was having it in the heart center, I'd take my stethoscope and listen. Of course, no.
Clever.
not that you could hear anything, but the vibration, you talk about in your book, the vibration at the crown chakra, which I get when I go to certain vortexes, especially in the Blue Ridge Mountains, Mount Shasta, other places, you get just a huge opening of the crown. And then the base chakra is when I need to be grounded. That seems to vibrate, you know, when I need to do grounding exercises. Basically, to explain it to our listening audience, what's happening is your chakra system is kind of like a transformer of energy. And each time, everything occurs in quanta probably, you know, just like in nature. So when your chakras need to go up a level, they will vibrate. and you can feel it.
Yes, you can.
You go, oh my goodness, what's that? Because it's quite, you can feel it very well. It's not like any physical symptom that is described in medicine. And it's happening to everybody who is actually, what we would call waking up.
Yes, and it's even happening to people that don't have the intention to wake up, and that's what I find fascinating.
That
you know, it's
funny.
The truth of it is, we're soul first, as I said, a body second, and whether you believe that, acknowledge it, or focus on it, it's still true. It's an objective truth, and even if people just object to that idea and disagree, you know. Talk to me when we're over on the other side about it, you know?
Right.
So, because I've been there, I've been here, you know, it doesn't matter. We are that. And this vibration that's happening, and you're so right, you can hold out a piece of paper on your hand in front of a neurologist, and it may quiver a little bit, but nothing to the degree that you're feeling it in your body.
Right.
Right.
It's like a spinning sensation, too.
Yeah, it is. And you know, one of the things that I get to play with is when I do a scan, as I go into the ventricle wall of the heart and look at the way in which the electricity is moving through that wall in the heart and the nerve bundles in the heart. And it is in that electromagnetic field that I get to fall into and find, you know, are they working their soul's purpose? Do they know who they are yet? Do they recognize their gifts and talents? And because that's the key. That's the secret key and lock right there, that brings what I will simply put, the mathematics of the universe and the soulfulness of the universe unite in that place of unity right within the electrical impulses in the heart. And you can easily tell, and I speak of this in the book Intuitive Wellness, I call it the high heart energetically. If you just place your hand on the high part of your heart, you'll feel whether or not you are living your soul's path and purpose, and you are on the path. Well, it's not even being on the path, it's being the path. And but for more investigative, supportive work to be able to intuitively go into the physical heart, you can then discern even more information, more data about what the gifts are, what the talents are, and if you're not using them, how is that affecting not only the heart, but the rest of your body? I mean, Chinese medicine, the soul, the spirit lives in the heart, lives in the pericardium. Mm-hmm. And it's very true from an energy medicine point of view and an intuitive point of view. So this vibration that a lot of people have, you know, when you're talking about the crown and the root chakra, that's one thing. That's clearing a block and being mindful and attentive in the moment. But this download of consciousness change, actually the pattern I've seen is it starts in the heart. And then it moves to the periphery of the body. It can move to the throat. It can move to the solar plexus, the back of the sacral area. It moves to different places. But the place of origin has been in the heart. And usually when it starts to retreat out of the person's body and the symptoms start to subside, the last place of vibration is in the heart as well. So this consciousness, as our whole galaxy, our whole solar system moves in a very literal way, and this is backed by science. They don't know what's going to happen either, but I think more mystics do.
There's a big galactic alignment coming up.
It's huge.
You know, it's
huge.
In the physical, and
yeah.
If you want to read about it, you can read about it. It's something the astronomers know is going to happen. There's a galactic alignment between the sun, the earth, and the galactic center. And
yeah.
What I think is going to happen is it's going to allow energies to move in.
Yeah.
That have not been allowed before.
Right.
And it may not be sudden. It may be sudden. We don't know about that.
Well, I think it's a combination, actually.
Yeah. There's probably a sudden portion, but then there's a gradual portion that we're already
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happens is we're growing up. I mean, the human race is mm-hmm. going to have to grow up.
Right.
I mean, it's like
get
off the planet.
That's right. And some are leaving. Yes, they are.
Some are leaving, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
They are. Yeah, they are. But absolutely, this is a very real thing, very real geomagnetic shifts in the planet and in the solar system and in your body. And always remember that consciousness comes before energy. Energy is a byproduct of consciousness.
That's right.
So it's consciousness that's changing. It's the thoughts that are allowed to come in, and the vehicle of that is the energy, and that's why it buzzes your body.
Yeah. And remember that any problem that you're having has a solution.
Yeah.
But as Einstein told us, you know, it's not necessarily at the level of consciousness that created it. It might be at a higher level of consciousness that you have.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
When you look around and see all of our problems, you know, the nuclear problem, the global warming problem, the population problem, the materialism problem,
mm-hmm.
the political corruption problem, we have the solutions to all of these in consciousness.
Yes,
and I think so much fear is being generated around 2012 because people instinctively, and you talk about this in your book, they instinctively hold on to what they know. And
yeah.
There's just a lot of fear, which of course is in the root chakra area of
yeah.
change. And so a great meditation and a great affirmation is to accept change, because change is going to get us out of our problems. And that's you know, we need to just go with the flow with that, not hold on to the old, because the old does not lead us out of danger with the planet. In fact, it leads us further into danger with the planet.
Oh, you're so right on that. You're so right on that. And a nice way to really support the change and bring it in a really integrated way is to focus on that change in the root, which will strengthen
mm-hmm.
immune system and that very primal instinctual pressure of fight or flight. And also bring it up into the solar plexus, so it's all about the me. I'm safe. My body is safe.
Right.
You know, it changes the constructs that have been socially implanted or familially implanted into the solar plexus that you have to do this, this, and this. And
mm-hmm.
and if you move out of that box, you're not going to be safe. So it brings
mm-hmm.
that first chakra instinctual fear up to a real, this is about my body, this is about my life kind of place, because solar plexus chakra, as we all know, can be that narcissistic opera singer, you know, me, 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 me.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta be able to address that too. So
mm-hmm.
anything with major change in body structure, it's always very helpful, I found, to work both first and third chakra, if appropriate to you. So, and that's where you have
mm-hmm.
to use your intuition to ask.
Yeah.
Is that, do I need to do it or not?
Well, what I do with most healings, when the person's there, sometimes we do distant healings, of course, but I'll
mm-hmm.
put my hands on their shoulder. They, you know, they're in the chair and laying down. And I put my hands on my shoulder, and I just see where I need to address, you know, which chakra level I need to address.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then after the energy goes through me into them, which is just kind of like the beginning energy, which is filled with information, then I'll go and put my hand over the chakra, and then I get a whole bunch of specific information
yes.
about what's going on with that chakra.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell the listening audience that your book goes through every chakra, and I really like your description. You give a description of the energy that flows through the chakra, the diseases that can occur if the energy is out of whack, and then you end in some of the exercises and affirmations that you can do to balance that chakra. So that's
thank you. I think it's a really important kind of linear process to something that's not so linear, but it really helps the 1, 2, 3 step-by-step process of really getting in touch and assessing information, and then finding out what you can do for corrective measures and healing. Because
right.
you just have to kind of go carve through it that way. Just
right.
flow with it.
Well, let's just take a minute to, can we talk about cancer for a minute?
Sure.
The second part of your book addresses the specific illnesses, many different ones. I just wanted to say one thing about depression. It's my impression that depression often occurs when one is not following their soul's purpose.
I would agree.
And or is in relationships that are not good for them. So I think what you said earlier about exploring the heart and really getting information about the soul's purpose, and so many people today are asking that question, you know, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
because if you have a purpose, and so many of the ills, especially the mental and emotional problems, do kind of melt away.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one of the most important things is to help people access that information about what they're here to do. That would be
It is important. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is very important. And you know, I think one of the hang-ups is that based on what happens with TV and media and magazines, you know, people like that 15 minutes of fame, or they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They feel the impulse and the compelling pull to do something good in the world, or to do something
mm-hmm.
in the world, and perhaps the ego tends to inflate that a little bit. But you've
right.
got to trust the fact that if it's your destiny to simply be the best physician you can be, great. If it's your destiny and soul's wisdom to stay at home and tend flowers and help your children grow and be that stable force for people in the neighborhood, then that's what you're here to do, and that's where you're going to find the most happiness. If
right.
you're supposed to run for president You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You've got to listen, and not everybody is supposed to have a quote unquote grand existence. Yet, if you do what you're supposed to do, it is grand to you.
Right.
And you got to get the ego out of the way, because that in the end, it doesn't matter. It completely thwarts everything that you're supposed to be doing here. And the way to find what you're supposed to be doing is take a few easy breaths into the body, into the chest area, and focus on that chest for a minute, and then imagine that you're already gone. You've left the body, you've crossed over, you're on the other side, and you're with your helping spirits and guides and your guardian angel, and you're going, well, that was interesting. You know, the welcoming party's gone,
yeah.
And you're just there with your guardian angel taking an account of what you went through as a human being. And you ask your guiding spirit here, what is it that I could have done better through this body, through this personality, to really actualize my soul on this earth? And when you do this exercise, have pen and paper ready, because you will hear
an
and know. You will definitely get an answer. And sometimes one of the things that I am supposed to do here is walk the hills of the planet. So I'm just supposed to get out and walk hills. You know, it's nothing grand, but it's what my soul needs, because when I look at nature, like all of us can gather this information, when I look at nature, I see power, I see connection, I see infinite beauty and energy. So one of my jobs for my soul to help do other things that I'm here to do is go walk in nature.
Well,
that's very specific too.
I mean, when I was off for 5 months. And did nothing but spiritual practices, and I was told to go dig in the dirt, you know, actually plant things and dig in the dirt, you know, and walk. I walked tremendously, because when you're doing a lot of spiritual work, all the energy's up in your crown and your third eye, and it's all up there, and it just, grounding that energy becomes important if you're gonna, you know, stay healthy.
Yes, yes, because what happens is your body starts to hold weight, because it's got to ground it. So to garden, to walk on the earth, I mean, what grounds lightning but the earth? So you got to ground the lightning, absolutely.
Right.
You know,
and
if
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to reiterate that I've had times where my own field just kind of just imploded on me, and I just had to shut everything down and go dig in the dirt.
Right.
For a week and a half.
Yeah.
And build it back
That's
up.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
And I think this is this conversation is appropriate to our listening audience too, because what we're talking about here is a lot more energy coming into everybody's system. Everybody's.
Yes.
Whether or not they understand it or not. So
that's right.
When you get the urge to go walk, when you get the urge to go garden, when you get the urge to sleep rather than go out tonight, do that. You know, that's your guidance. That's what your guidance is, your first thought, not your second, gee, I'll do that later. that's a different thought. That's a different part of mind.
Yes, it is, indeed. Yeah. And the same with foods, what you're drawn to energetically, from the color or the juiciness of the food, and, you know, the fruits, the vegetables that are high water content, they're very important to help clear the physical system, which allows the energetic system to be clear too. So you know, making sure you're getting the right foods right now is just critical, and there's just, that's a whole nother show, Susan, you know,
that
to
is.
Talk about that, which is you know, put upon us
right now, right?
Oh,
well,
my goodness.
I want to tell a short story that's really funny. My roommate came down. He had had a dream that he needed to ask me what he needed. Now, mind you, my roommate is in the top 100 psychics in the country in that book, okay? So he has a dream to come down and ask me what he needs. So I'm sitting there going, and I look up from, I think I'm watching TV, I look up and I say, magnesium. He said, thank you. And he goes and gets some magnesium. Isn't that funny? In consciousness, you know?
Right.
He could be told what he needed. I think it was just so I could tell that story on the radio.
That's a great story.
Go ask your roommate what you need.
That's right. That's right.
Well,
you know
why? Because if he had heard it, he might not have done it.
That's right.
No, that can't be.
I'll do it later.
Yeah, right. Susan says I need magnesium, and she's a doctor.
That's right. That's right. There is a certain authority that comes from a friend, especially a physician friend, who's extraordinarily intuitive, you know. I'd be jumping too.
And magnesium, I brought it up because magnesium is very important right now. And, you know, if you take too much magnesium orally and you get diarrhea, you might consider changing the form of magnesium you take. And be careful not to take calcium and magnesium together in great quantities, because the calcium is not going to be good for you. I mean, some calcium is good, and you can figure out with your own intuition how much. But magnesium is what I find we need for this shift. I mean, greater than normal magnesium level. So you can get that transdermal, you can get that orally, there's some really good forms of magnesium. You can read about magnesium on the internet. Dr. Norm Shealy has some great information about magnesium. Dr. Shealy's brought in so much very important information, as you know.
He has. He has indeed.
So he's on the forefront of all sorts of interesting things. And he has a website and a newsletter. So, you know, I think paying attention to what your body says, and if need be, you know, consulting with physicians like Dr. Shealy, who is up on what the body needs now. Iodine, selenium, magnesium. These are things that are not necessarily in our diet, even if we're eating organic and healthy. You know, sometimes the foods have been selenium deficient, so, and that impacts the immune system. So. But there's a lot of things like that are important.
Yeah, that's a lot of good information, and I would encourage your listeners to go to Dr. Shealy's site, because the main systems that are being stressed in this evolution of consciousness is primarily the nervous system, and of course the endocrine
system. He's a neurosurgeon.
He's
a neurosurgeon who invented the TENS unit, so he knows the nervous system. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so, but that's where it's hitting, and it can hit hard, and it can hit quickly. It can come on gradually, but most of the people have had some event, or just simply have awakened one morning or in the middle of the night and starting to vibrate. So, and it's not to scare anybody, but it is actually to help calm you down with this information that there's really nothing horribly wrong with you. You know, you certainly need to confer with your physician if there are ongoing symptoms and you're concerned. Always do that, and your healthcare provider. But this is something outside of the medical model, and it's universal right now. Absolutely,
it is.
And it's a very exciting thing. It can be really challenging to deal with, because it does kind of mess with your day, so to speak, but it's moving you along. I have yet to meet anyone who has had this experience that did not have a significant increase in their intuition during the process.
And in their energy. You know, people are telling me that they have incredible energy now compared to what they used to have.
Yeah.
There's two forms of it. Either you require a lot more sleep or you require less sleep. It depends on which phase you're in.
Yes. Yes.
But, no, it's true.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I went for a walk in the mountains in Arizona years ago, and was at the almost at the top, and I sat and looked at the vista, and I said, "Okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you want, I'm here." Mm-hmm. And woke up in the morning and started vibrating, and it lasted for 4.5 years. But my sight completely blew open. I mean, blew open to the point where I had no control over it. I could see everything in a building, the street, the infrastructure under the street, the fluids in the car, the fluids in the body. I mean, everything blew open. I went home, you know. I just went home.
A little bit too much information in the third dimension.
Well, that's why
we shut it down when we're here, you know.
Yeah.
But you can open it up, and attending one of your workshops would be a really good way to do that. And you and you can also read the book, but I think the workshops are really good. Do you have any information about your website, your schedule?
Yes, I'm going to be launching a new website in September, so if people want to go to www.energymedicine.org, they can sign up for the newsletter, which always offers great information and exercises every month and some healthy recipes to boot, and that will be a nice entree into the date announcement for the new site, on which I'll have meditations and visualizations and some other cool free stuff, as well as information of upcoming workshops. I'm going to start teaching in the spring of 2010 again. I've taken a little bit of a sabbatical with my father with Alzheimer's, and then doing private trainings like the one at Columbia right now, so that's taking a lot of time. And also Sounds True, which is the audio publisher that's produced both Color Intuition training program and the Unlocking Your Intuitive Power program that I've created with them, is launching an intuitive development web channel at the end of September. And I'm honored to get to be their expert there, so I'll be answering questions and answering them through that website, and that launches in September. They don't have the exact date yet, so if you want to go to my website, again, it's www.energymedicine.org. You can sign up for the newsletter, and I'll be announcing the launch of Sounds True site when that happens, too. So, and I'm starting a radio show September 8th on Contact Talk Radio, where I'll be taking live calls for people and also sharing information with guests. And hopefully, Susan, you'll be one of my guests. Would love to have you on the show. And so that's starting in September, too. So September has turned out to be a very busy month.
Yeah, it's great. Know, that's true of many of us. A lot of things waited until September.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like there's a new opening of energy in September for some reason.
I agree. I agree. I think there's going to be a lot of transformational shifts, both just in the normal world, the physical world, and the economic world again. So hang on to your hats in October, November a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think in the end it'll be just absolutely brilliant. A lot of people are going to wake up, some through spiritual lovely experiences. Some people wake up through frustration and an overload of frustration, and then something just pops in. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter. I'm going this way. This is the way I need to go. And,
yeah,
you know, all of that's going to happen here.
Yeah, I have a picture of your, you know, a man walking his dog, and the soul is the man and the dog is the personality. And you can either go through life looking at everything, smiling, you know, peeing on fire hydrants and just having a good old time, or you can get drugged down the street. And I have some people in my office right now who are getting drugged down the street.
It is like, you know.
And I say, you know, you can do this differently. You really can.
There are choices.
You don't have to go kicking and screaming and being a victim all the way, you know.
No, not
at
all.
Being a victim dog, being abused, you know.
No.
But you are going down that road. you're not. Your personality is not in control of the direction you're going.
No way, shape, or form. Although some would like to think so.
Right.
Again, it's that first awakened moment when you realize that you are a soul. Not that you have one, that you are one. I mean, there's a little difference in verbiage there, but there's a lot of impact and meaning that's very, very different, and that you start moving from that soulful place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ego goes, well, you know, I would have liked to have gone left in my life, but my soul said right, and it works out. It works out every time if you just listen to that voice of intuition, which, of course, is the language of your soul. So it may not seem or make sense in the moment, but it always works out. I've never been disappointed.
And you know, I think that that's why we have to grow up. I mean,
yes.
We have to not be adolescents anymore and do what we want to do.
That's
what we should do.
Right.
And so I really think that this next galactic alignment, you know, shifting into the new age, is actually shifting into new energy and with new opportunities. And that portion of the consciousness that is unwilling to shift will simply, you know, reincarnate onto another third-dimensional planet, but I think the rest of us are going to go into more of a spiritual maturity where we can actually quit, you know, blowing each other up and threatening each other and being terroristic to each other, and actually work together to create something that will last. Because if you look at the history of the Earth,
you know, about every 50 years, many civilizations get wiped out with war, destruction, whatever. That just, you can't build anything. You just can't build anything. And now we've got superpowers where we really are capable of wiping the whole planet clean.
Yeah.
And that becomes a crisis, you know. And now the smaller countries like Iran and North Korea are getting nuked. So, you know, that becomes a real crisis.
It does because...
It really does. So either you grow up and you learn to coexist peacefully or you just aren't here anymore. So
Right.
Should be interesting. And we're gonna have to get back together to talk about cancer, depression, Alzheimer's, arthritis. These are the things that but that's another whole hour, so we might as well just leave it.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But I think the information we got out about, I think that's important right now, that there is a new energy coming in. It can create symptoms, including this vibration, these neurological symptoms, that you're not going crazy, that you're not, you know, you don't have to worry about anything other than just doing some real simple stuff.
Yeah.
And getting some information and maybe taking some magnesium and getting a healing if you're guided to, you know, Reiki, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and just getting to know getting to know your own energetic system through sitting down for a few minutes every day. We're not talking about hours of oming in a corner.
No,
just check in with your throat chakra. Take a look, you know. Take a moment and sense what's going on and the answer will come to you right then and there usually. So it's like I'm feeling cranky in my fifth chakra and this is what I need to do about it. It's like, okay, done. I'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We've been speaking with Laura Alden Kam on her book Intuitive Wellness, Using Your Body's Inner Wisdom to Heal. Next week, we are talking with Dr. John Lerma, Learning from the Light, Pre-Death Experiences, Prophecies, and Angelic Messages of Hope. That should be a good show. And then the next week, Dr. Duke Johnson, The Optimal Health Revolution, How Inflammation is the Root Cause of the Biggest Killers and What to Do About It. And then the next week is Plant Spirit Healing, A Guide to Working with Plant Consciousness. And then the last, on the 26th, we're talking about Lyme's disease and Penta water. I'm giving the Noetic Science meeting on the 17th. I'm talking about the naked truth about breast implants, cell phones, GMO foods, nanotechnology, and anything else that we need to educate the public about. And that will be on Thursday, September 17th at 7:15 at the Georgetown Square office. For more information, call 770-457-4677. Thanks so much for joining us today, Laura. And I'll inform Gio to set you up again later on to talk about diseases and how
that sounds wonderful. Sounds like you've got a great lineup of shows. Your listeners are lucky.
We do. We have
a lot
of fun with this.
Thank you.
You will, too. The radio show is great because you get to connect with other people, which is really fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally. You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plasticos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plasticos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plasticos made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plasticos surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plasticos?
Plasticos is in Dunwoody. Plasticos is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plasticos number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.